pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. We do appreciate it. Text line. You need to be in touch with the show. What you do is you text me. Y'all think it's all Ukraine and all Ukraine Biden, but there's a much deeper philosophical component to this than just the Democrats in the House and the Senate being beholden to Biden's corruption. Okay, you may not think that's true, but it is. Anyway, enough of that. But text me and let me know what's on your mind. Joining us now, off a weekend in Washington, a little Saturday work in Washington, D.C., but our good friend, Congressman Jerry Carl joins us on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am fantastic. Beautiful day, and I'm over here on South Alabama campus and getting ready to talk to a handful of folks. Just a gorgeous day to be alive.
Well, let's talk about the weekend. I'm sure you're glad to get the reprieve from D.C., but this package of foreign aid bills, you voting along with Dale Strong and Gary Palmer, I think. You're voting for the Taiwan package and the Israel package, but just not interested in another more money for Ukraine. All three pass. Walk us through your decision-making process.
Well, I talked to Gary very little. Dale and I always sit together on the floor, and Dale's his own man, so I can't answer for his. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, everybody says there should be more money in there for the budget. I mean, for the border, and I totally agree. The border is the number one issue on everybody's mind, everybody's conversation. But this bill turned into quickly to a foreign aid bill. It was not targeted for the border. We have had since November, we've had a bill in the Senate to take care of the border, and nobody will take it up in the Senate. So if anybody wants to be mad about not being something in this bill dealing with the border, look at your Senate. Senate's where it is sitting. H.R. 2. Very simple. Now, the Biden administration, they want to put some money in a couple of bills. It was for more administrative roles to process more people. That's the last thing we need. We need to be building walls and shutting the border off. With that said, the Israeli money, I didn't have a problem with that one. That for me, that's a biblical thing. That's a thing that I've always stood very strong with Israel. I'll always stand very strong with Israel. So there was no riding the fence trying to figure that one out for me. The Ukraine money was the tough one. Most of the congressmen let's just say a lot of the congressmen didn't take time to research that and look at it. I sat through 4 hours of a secured briefing by the CIA and all the other organizations telling us stuff that we really didn't want to hear about what's going on over there. I went through a 2-hour lockdown with the ambassador over there. But I still had to come back to the promises that I made to voters during the election. I promised I would not vote for that Ukraine funding, and I did not. But some of the things that are going to come out of that when this war's over with is going to be horrendous. They compared it to Hitler and the way Hitler dealt with the Jews. They said some of the stuff is going to make Hitler look like a kindergarten teacher. They said it's just going to be horrible once this is over with and once things start coming out. So, with that said, I promised the folks I'd vote against it, and I voted against it. Would I have voted different? That would have made it a hard choice. The Taiwan vote, I was against that one going in. When it first came up, I started doing a little digging. I always try to research those bills as much as I can with a limited amount of time. I figured out so much of that Taiwanese money was not going to Taiwan. It's labeled that way, but it's actually going to beef up our security. Actually, some of that money will be spent right here in Mobile, Alabama. That was the selling point for me. Submarine parts. We have a huge submarine base over in Taiwan. So most of this money that we're talking about, the Taiwanese, is going to secure up that base, more equipment, more parts. And it boiled down to jobs in the Mobile area for me. So I voted for that one. I knew the Ukraine stuff would pass just simply because of the Democrat momentum they had. And you saw that on the floor when they started waving those flags. And boy, that just infuriated everybody. I mean, everybody. But that's kind of the attitude the floor has become. It's just, it's a hard label to put on, but it's become a bunch of high school. It's like a reality program. Who can get the weirdest, I should say.
Well, and the vote and talking about the border money and that's been the talking point, but you hear this.
We're not going to change anything on that border. We're not. I don't care how much money you throw at it, whatever bills you get passed, until you get Biden out of the way. Biden is the problem. Again, we have a bill in the Senate to take care of it. Bring that bill up. Let's vote on it. Let the Senate vote on it. But Biden will kill it. It all boils down to Biden.
But some of the Republicans, and we'll leave them nameless for right now, but they going on the Sunday show yesterday. It's over for Mike Johnson. He's going to get ousted. He didn't play ball the right way. I mean, like, what do you think of that? What do you make of that? That another motion to vacate got Thomas Massie on board with Marjorie Taylor Greene. I think Massie is a serious person, but this isn't a gimmick. But he really believes this stuff. But what do you make of all that?
Well, Massie is an extremely intelligent guy. I mean, his IQ is off the chart. He votes different than most everybody on the floor, and we're used to that, but we respect it because he truly believes the way he's voting. You have to respect that, whether you agree or disagree, and I respect that. When he stood up at the meeting the other day and challenged Mike in that meeting, telling him he was going to take him out, I'd never seen that Massie before. I didn't know who that was, and several of us have talked about that, so he's letting his anger taking over his sense that he's got, because he does have a fair amount of common sense too. And now it's become an anger issue. We can't always have our way, Jeff, especially in politics. You have to be able to win some and lose some. You cannot win them all, and you certainly can't get mad and take your football and go home. But, you know, the voters and the sense of the voters is we get it all or nothing. There are very few statesmen left on the floor. You know, our job is to take a bill and to get on the floor and to make our points, to try to convince our colleagues to vote the way we want to vote. It's not that way anymore. You got groups that will tell you how to vote. They're going to look at their scorecard to tell them how to vote. They don't listen to the debates on the floor. It's really become challenging. You know, it's become one of those us versus them. So what they're doing there is they're trying to build a coalition against Mike Johnson. And I'll tell you something. Mike Johnson may not be perfect. I think the only perfect person in recorded history was Jesus Christ, and they crucified him for it. But Mike Johnson is far from perfect, but he is a good man. He's a good-hearted man. He truly cares about and he's passionate about this country. He's smart enough to understand he can't win them all. But he's also smart enough to know you have to keep the ball moving in this. In politics, you can't just stay still and stay dormant because people will turn on you quickly. So Mike chose to move it on. Is he right or is he wrong? History will tell. A lot of people voted for the Ukraine money, and I heard them say history will tell me if I was right or not, because some of us feel like it needs to be a little more monitored, for lack of better terms. But if they turn on Mike Johnson, you're going to see the Christian community come out after them. And I think they're smart enough. I think right now they're just filling their coffers with money. They got that 1-800 send me your money line going wide open of those $25 and $50 donations. That's who they're targeting that towards. They're getting on TV. They're keeping their base stirred up. But I think their base is beginning to turn on them a little bit too, because you've got a man in there that's truly trying. I mean, look at Mike 6 months ago versus today. I hope he's not listening, but you can just see the aging factor on him. And that's not a good thing. I mean, we go up there to serve, I think everybody goes up there for the right reasons. We have a servant's heart. We want to serve our community. And when you get up there, it becomes a survival instinct that you almost have to come up with. And either you vote the scorecards, or if you want to get out there on your own and do the research and actually vote against the scorecard. I mean, those groups come after you, and they're going to be after Mike because they didn't, he didn't do it the way they wanted it done. But I think, the American people, will, because of his Christian faith, and even the Jewish, delegation there respects Mike because of his faith. I think that's going to go a long way in this. So they need to be very careful who they're attacking. We can't go through another 3 weeks of trying to elect a speaker. The Republican voters have lost all confidence in us already. And going back through another 3 weeks of voting on that will just destroy us in the 2024 November election.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Like, I just don't think there's the appetite for this circus of another speaker election coming, going into the 2024 presidential cycle. And like, look, I mean, if you do this again and you go through another, like you said, 3 week, just vote after vote after vote, trying to get someone elected speaker. And, well, I mean, what do you think that does to Donald Trump's chances? And that's what I would ask some of these guys. Like, you know what, just suck it up. There's not much left in this Congress, relatively speaking. This is a fool's errand to try to oust the speaker.
You know, you listen to elected officials and you listen to the news media, you think the world's just coming to a complete end. I wish people would back up and think where we've come from in this country. And use a little imagination of where we need to go. Let's don't base our votes on fear. Let's don't base our votes on some silly commercial asking a young girl to get out and check to see if she's pregnant. You know, let's use some common sense here. You know, Washington and the politicians have got to where they want to scare us into a vote. Use some common sense, please, folks. I mean, this is crazy stuff that goes on in Washington, and they think we are stupid. I'm a voter now. I'm on the way out, and I'm just going to be just Jerry, and I'm happy with that. I'm fine with that. But we've got to rise up above it as voters, and we have to get involved. If you didn't vote, you shouldn't even be in this conversation. I'm telling you, people have got to get involved. They have to vote, and to allow 15 to 20% of, because I promise you, the angry people, I promise you, the extremes, they're going to vote. And if you're a guy working 45, 60 hours a week trying to provide your family a living, you're the guy that needs to be voting. You understand where the dirt's at. I mean, you understand that you need help. You need your taxes down. You need more for what you're paying for. You need less going out of the country. You need secured borders. You know that, but yet you don't vote. I don't understand that. I truly don't understand it. Do not give up on this country. Do not give up on your elected officials, whether you like them or not. If you don't like them, get them voted out. Let's do it for the right reasons. Let's don't do it out of fear.
But Congressman, I mean, whether we like it or not, and you mentioned this Gavin Newsom weird ad, that's the perception. This is the game that's being played. This is how you win the game. This works. I watched this happen in Virginia, the gubernatorial election. I believe it was Kate Cuccinelli, and there were smart, educated women that really thought that he was going to ban contraception if he were elected. And we knew it was all nonsense, but it's like, well, probably not. But to be safe, I'm going to vote for the Democrat, whoever it was, Tim Kaine or whatever at the time. And the stuff works. That's what do you, I mean, like, there's no, how do you respond to this sort of attack ad that's depicting Alabama as such?
You know, I have this expensive advertising firm that I paid for my last election, and they said the only way to get elected is to go negative, 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 negative. You went negative, things win. And I refuse to believe that. I finally bought into it, a little bit of it. I think it certainly helped cost me an election. You won't ever see me do that again. But the negatives, well, there's enough negatives in this world. Let's talk about, Let's talk about the future of Alabama. Let's talk about the bright things in Alabama. How about the Airbuses and the Huntsville and the Austells and all these wonderful things we have going on instead of focusing on some young lady that's being stopped. But I honestly think, let me kind of tie this together for you. I think one reason they don't want Johnson taken out, they don't want to deal with that right now, is they're spending so much time and so much money making the suburban women fearful of this issue that they don't want to take their attention off of that to watch an election for a new House speaker. They've got a lot of money in the suburban women market, and it is an issue. I'm not stepping away from that, but it's not the issue. The issue from a federal standpoint needs to be security of this country.
I know you got to get out of here. I know you got to hear because you got to speak at an engagement here, but we're going a little long, but I think this is important. Like, what I don't like is that when you see that, look, there are lawmakers who pass these pro-life laws and they do these things for, I think, the right reasons and biblical reasons. And when and we can talk about Airbus and Austell and all that, that's fine, and Boeing or whatever. But what I don't like is this demonization, this villainization of these pro-life gestures from our elected officials who are now going to be scared. They don't really punch back either, but they're going to be concerned. They're not going to be as willing to pass the laws that are tough on elective abortion or whatever it may be. That's the net result of this, and it becomes an albatross to be pro-life.
Listen, 2 years ago, I stepped out on the limb and I said it should be a state issue, not a federal issue, the abortion. The state laws should regulate, just like in all health care, the state laws should regulate how health care is handled in a state. And my predecessor, Barry stepped out there and criticized me for that. He thought it should be a federal law. State law is what I think then, and I think it now. We have got to determine our own destiny. We have to get as much as we possibly can out of Washington and bring it back home. We won't like it all. We will not like it all. So you can't have it all. But we've got to bring the options back to we, the public in the state of Alabama, and quit focusing so much on Washington. Because I promise you something, Washington is driven by money. All these huge conservative groups that put out these scorecards, they get paid for that, folks. That's how they make a living. And the more people they can get to vote on their scorecard, the more money they make. It's not about conservative. It's about money. Great talk to you, Jeff. Yeah. I wish I had another 30 minutes to go through this. I'm looking at my appointment right here, so I'm going to jump out of the car and go talk to him. But God bless America. Let's don't give up on it. And you know, let's keep Alabama where Alabama deserves to be, as close to our heart. I love Alabama. I've always supported it, and I always will.
Congressman Jerry Carl, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.